I have to confess that a part of my heart goes through that door and it's just tearing me to stay here this morning. But as it is, I would like you to just take a moment with me and just join me in an attitude of prayer as we open our time to hear about the word. And now, dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. And as it is indicated in the bulletin, let's do something completely different. And I'd like you to take a moment right here, right now, in the space in which you are seated, and make sure you're sitting comfortably, but alert. If you have your bulletin in your hand or something else, I'm just going to ask you to put it down just for a few moments. Even you guys on the side. Yep, you too. All right. Square yourself in your seat. Put your feet on the floor. Make sure you're sitting upright. Maybe not necessarily military posture or something that's going to make Miss Manners happy, but something allows you to be alert and attentive, but still sitting comfortably right where you are. Let your hands rest comfortably. And let's take a deep breath in and out. And let's do one more for good measure. I'm going to read now a passage of scripture, one we've already read this morning, but this time I'm going to invite you to listen. And just as you've tuned your posture to listen well, allow the rest of your senses to become aware. Notice what you see in your mind's eye. What do you touch? What do you hear beyond the reading of these words? Can you see something else? Can you smell something? Do you taste something? How do all of your God-given senses participate in this reading? I invite you to allow yourself, with the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, to paint a picture, a multi-sensory picture, that can only be painted by you as a result of living your life and the experiences that God has had you have. Are you ready? Even if you're not, here we're gonna go. Let's breathe one more time. And if you'd like to close your eyes, by all means, go ahead and do so, but it's not a requirement. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder where you were in that reading. If you'd like to respond aloud, please do so, but there's no pressure to do so. But you may share as the Holy Spirit prompts you. What did things look like? Were you in a real or imaginary place? Was it a pasture? Or mountains, or somewhere else, or maybe both? Were you somewhere quite ordinary in every day? Was this place familiar to you? Maybe it was someplace you'd never been before. I wonder if you stayed in the same place the entire time. Or, because we were using our hearts and our minds, were you able to travel effortlessly from one place to another, almost as if you were in a dream? I wonder what the Good Shepherd looked like. How did you recognize him? How did you know him? Did he look familiar to you? What did he do while he was with you? I wonder what your perspective was as you were listening. Were you one of the sheep who was able to claim the Lord as their shepherd? Or were you observing everything? Perhaps this reading took you somewhere in your memory, to another time or place in which these words were said aloud, maybe by you, maybe when you've learned them for the first time. Maybe they were being said by somebody else, someone you knew, or somebody who just said them that day, once. Who was it that spoke the words? Did you say them with you, with them? Was it at a gathering? Do you remember how you felt when you heard others saying those words with you? I'd like to take our time with the Good Shepherd and draw it to a close in another moment or two. But before we leave the sights, the memories, the images, and the sensations, I'd like you to take one more moment and ask God, what do you want me to know this morning from this reading? What do you want me to take from this experience with you? Perhaps there's something you'd like to journal later today, or a note you'd like to write sometime later this week. I don't know. And maybe there's nothing. But let's just take the next minute or so, and in our hearts, in the quiet now, speak with God, each of us, about your experience in prayer. Thank you for this time of indulging me in probably one of the more unusual sermon introductions, as we did a little bit of a mashup between an Ignatian contemplation and a Lectio Divina. Maybe it's not the typical sermon intro, but in some way, I do believe that this was an age-appropriate way, an adult way, to get a sense of the contemplative spiritual work our children have the opportunity to experience each week when we work with a sacred story on Sunday morning in children's worship. The parable of the Good Shepherd is not just the starting point, but it's a central motif that we revisit periodically through the liturgical year in godly play. Even though the story is told with tactile pieces of felt and laminated figures that are kept in a precious gold parable box, and they are at the tender ages of somewhere between 2 and 10 years old, they may not have the depth or reservoir of experiences and familiarity that you all have with Psalm 23, but yet they are capable, and with the prompting and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they are able to recognize, experience, and know this scripture and others like it for themselves. It is an incredible privilege, and has been the last 6 or so months, to meet with our children here at Ascension and allow them, in their age-appropriate way, to experience the stories of God and to spend time with God. I am so grateful, it makes me giggle sometimes, about how the Holy Spirit has used godly play in my life and in my ministry over the last 22 years or so. There are friendships and relationships that I've come to know as a result. And it's also shaped me and who I am as a professor of practical theology, even though my research and primary interest is actually the holy transformation of the spiritual lives of adults. Now, I'd like to invite you to take another trip with me. This time, it's a little bit of a time travel, and I'd like us to go back to the 1900s. I know, isn't that crazy? 1900s. When my nephew says that, it always kind of blows my mind. It's 1999. I'm a seminary student who, whilst doing my field education, have been offered a position as a director of children's church at a rather large and vital downtown congregation in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm grateful for the prospect. It's going to put money in my hand and I can put gas in the tank of my car and allow me to continue my studies as a seminary student. But I'm not quite sure that my 10 years of teaching high school chemistry, that the time I've my coaching experience with swimmers on summer team leagues from the ages of 5 to 18 years old, or even several years of Girl Scout camp counseling, have given me all the tools I need to lead children's worship. Sure, I went to Sunday school as a kid. I'd even taught Sunday school class and led a youth group or two by this time. And when I was growing up, I had attended Sunday school assemblies in the United Methodist Church where I grew up. But children's worship sounded like a whole other ball of wax. Something different. Something more. And to make matters more daunting, First Church really didn't have any particular vision or idea in mind. They simply had the need to continue to offer an age-appropriate activity to the kids outside of the sanctuary once they had been dismissed after the children's sermon. Not only, happily, were they paying me an adequate Sunday morning stipend, the pockets of First Church were deep, and the director of children's ministry could charm ducks off of water, and so I was not doing this without resources. So I did what any self-respecting seminarian would do. I walked into the second floor lounge of the women's dorm where all the Christian ed majors hung out, and I said, "Help." My dorm mates were immediately ecstatic, enthusiastic, and downright evangelistic to share with me over the next couple of hours some of the introductory things about godly play and they made a convert out of me. That afternoon, my CE friends gave me a glimpse of the possibility of what it meant to help children develop spiritually or join children on the spiritual journey, which is a universally beloved professor there, Kathy Stonehouse, not only said, it's what she entitled one of her books. And here's a cool fact. There is someone in this church this morning who is a parent to children who were interviewed by Dr. Kathy for some of her research. I'll let you leave you to figure that out after service, who that person is, okay? But there is someone here. My CE friends insisted that I email Dr. Kathy and set up a time. And she not only met with me, providing me what one-on-one insights for the potential of godly play in the lives of children and adults, she had me come and observe it in action in her local congregation and how they had adapted it. The deep pockets of First Methodist meant that I could go and attend a workshop that was actually conducted by Jerome Berryman, co-author of this essential text about godly play. I was envied by those Christian education majors because I was able to go to Louisville and be in a Berryman workshop over the course of a weekend as it was touring the country. And I wasn't a Christian ed major. And that children's minister who could charm ducks off water, well, she knew who the woodworkers were in the congregation and who had the time and the skill to do the shopping that was required. And so she simply took the list of materials and within a very short time made sure they were procured and we were up and running. And I was experiencing firsthand what it was like to create a special time and a special place each Sunday morning for children to talk with God, for them to listen to God, to hear God's stories, and to just be with God. I led children's church at worship at First Lexington for almost 2.5 years during my seminary days. It was such a privilege to accompany them on their spiritual journey and be shaped by them. I really could tell you a lot of wonderful stories about the delight, the discovery, the development in faith that as the little ones that I worked with. When I graduated, I was deeply touched to receive recognition for the work I had done with the congregation, but more grateful to know that what I had helped inaugurate was going to continue after I left. And actually, 10 years ago, when I was embarking on my PhD work to do work in the area of adult education, I had the opportunity to visit First Church and see that godly play was being carried on. Certainly, principles that I had worked with in those 2.5 years had infused my own ministry. But the knowledge that there were children from kindergarten through college at First Lex who experienced godly play was profoundly moving to me. I wondered then, and I still wonder now, if the ministry that I want to do and have passion to do will have that same kind of long-lasting impact. Now, let's fast forward to just 2.5 years ago. I've been here in Marion and for about a little bit more than a year. I'm enjoying my teaching position at Wesley Seminary, teaching in the area of practical theology and adult education. Formation in the Wesleyan and formation and Wesleyan discipleship. I was searching for a congregation where I might feel at home. I was craving liturgy and community and hadn't found them in a local Methodist congregation. I also longed to be in a sanctuary where there were windows. And though at the time there weren't any windows in this room or they were boarded up, there were indications that this might be where the Holy Spirit was leading. It had liturgy. It's an Anglican church, for goodness sakes. And I sensed community here. There were people whose lives, our lives had overlapped with other persons we knew in common. In conversation around my passion for intergenerational ministry opened up the opportunity to host Advent soup and supper in my house on Tuesday nights in December 2019. That first week, more than two dozen folks from the age of 3 months, was he 3 months at the old at the time? From the age of 3 months, past retirement age, crowded into my house for a dinner of soup and bread, followed by a sacred story that we all, children of all ages, could enjoy. That next Sunday in church, there were visitors in worship, and something about them held my attention. We talked afterwards, and I had a sense that I knew them from somewhere, and they as well, but where? We tried to figure it out, the three of us, but nothing was budging. And then suddenly, the husband said something, and I knew that they had a son named Drew, and he had been in the children's worship program at First Church years ago, and that his parents, Sharon and Mike Adams, had been in the adult Sunday school class that we had attended together. The Holy Spirit was up to something. I was emboldened in the next few weeks to have conversations with Annika Stassen. And almost exactly 2 years ago, we were talking about the possibility of bringing godly play to Ascension. But starting godly play is no small task. The front end is very expensive, can be very expensive, and is time consuming. There really aren't the same deeply lined, well-endowed pockets here at Ascension that I enjoyed at First Church. But as I said, the Holy Spirit was moving, and you can't stop the Holy Spirit. I also found out that in 2018, First Methodist, after expanding to become a three-campus church, had a new family ministry pastor reorganization. She had retired years ago, and there had been lots of interims in between time. Had actually sunsetted godly play in favor of a streamlined curriculum that could be hosted at all three sites. Much of what had been had simply been boxed up and was in storage. And upon inquiring, I found out First Methodist was willing to donate the materials they had to Ascension. I just needed to go pick them up. And so I looked at my calendar, scheduled it for the last weekend in March of 2020. Yep, you know what happened. I didn't make it that month. But 14 months later, that trip finally happened. And in last May, right before Memorial Day, I was able to go down, and with the help of a dear woman whose two sons, who are now grown adults, who had been in children's worship and also in our Sunday school class with us all those years ago, we rummaged through the closets and the shelves to retrieve a great number of the pieces needed to tell the sacred stories with our youngest members here at Ascension. However, thinking back, what was that, the beginning of last summer, we were heading into summer months, and the church was between vicars. And I also rationalized, there's so much more that needs to be put into place. A room, shelving, the rest of the pieces, some repairs, much repair, well, a fair deal of repair, planning, volunteers, training. And surely the Mission Council would want a plan for this initiative, especially a church that was between leadership. But then in August, before we knew that Father Joe and Mickey were coming, the Holy Spirit moved again, this time quickly and without hesitation. It happened in actually the next to the back pew on this side. The one, yep, you two, you're looking at each other. That's where it was. And Diana had come in from taking the children. They had worked outside. And we were passing the peace when she returned to the sanctuary. And a quick conversation began to percolate in both of our hearts. And as we celebrated the Eucharist, the Holy Spirit made it clear that we could begin to roll out the sacred stories of godly play beginning that very next Sunday. And by the time the service was over, she and I shared with the congregation that something new would be happening the next week. And with the blessing of the Holy Spirit and the Mission Council, it did. Our rollout over the last 6 months has had its bumps and hiccups and still does. But the Holy Spirit has been present. The children have responded, and each week get a chance to encounter God. I've had help, and we've been somewhat content to bump along through the fall and early winter. But I can't tell you how very grateful I am for Father Joe to be living here in Marion and for deciding that it would be fun for me to be recognized as a deacon in the congregation. I want you to know those were his words, that it would be fun, when he floated that idea to me originally in December. I'm grateful to parents who were wanting to train their child up in the way that they should go and begin to experience a contemplative spiritual life from the earliest ages. Diana and Anna get props for helping to paint the room, and the Mission Council for allowing us to refresh that room, and the opportunity to resettle in that room last month actually came with the installation of shelves that were overseen by Father Joe, Steve, and Jeff. Another shout out has to go to Court for both the brute force in removing those shelves from the plastered walls and the skills that he uses for the jigsaw each week to refresh and update pieces that we need to tell the sacred stories. As we close, I want us to time travel further ahead now. And allow you to let me cast a vision for what godly play can be here in Grant County. I believe the Holy Spirit has brought different persons here and equipped us with resources to develop it in the next couple of years, that Ascension can become a place where college students interested in early education can come and earn internship credit. We may not have the deeply lined, well-endowed pockets I knew 20 plus years ago, but it doesn't matter. Because it's evident to me that the Holy Spirit has shown me that there is energy, eagerness, and enthusiasm to see what is possible here and now in the years to come as our youngest members grow in stature and wisdom of the Lord. There is more to be done, certainly. And I love you, as a child of God at your age and stage of life, to join us on this journey together. Next Sunday, for those of you who are interested in learning more, we will have a meeting here at 9 a.m. Now, don't worry, you know, there will be more other opportunities. Next week is just another beginning, another phase of our rollout. But I do believe that together we can work to create a space for all of us to thrive in the Holy Spirit, and that the goodness and the mercy of the Lord will follow us all the days of our life, and that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May it be so.